Blog Talk Radio.
Play something that is so connected to that song. Everybody remembers Jaws 2, Yeah, well, Jaws 2. What did Roy Schneider say to the people of Amity when the shark came back? He said, I've been this place before, and I don't want to go back again. Well, guess what? As Michael Corleone said, just when I thought I got out, they pulled me right back in. And that seemed like a situation I'm in right now because I swore I'd never get involved in this debacle again. But here we go again. The chair of the Democratic Party and her confidants, the ilk that march under her tune, are doing the same thing that they did 10 years ago, sticking their nose in where it does not belong in the auxiliary committee, the African American caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party. You know, there's a saying by Orwell, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Amen, brother. Boy, it's just like they can't help themselves. They, it was Al Sharpton said one time, he said, what do liars do? They lie. Well, you can also say that about lawyers, you know. But what do liars do? They lie. And what we have here, as he said in Cool Hand Luke, is a failure to communicate, but on purpose. So we're going to have a great lineup today. We have you're going to hear some things that you probably haven't heard before. And unless you've been listening to this broadcast, because I talk about it all the time. But there might be a few people listening today that say, oh, Patsy Kiva Acock, where do we know that name from? Well, you just need to go into your history books and look up Governor Acock from North Kakalaki. They will tell you, it will tell you who Acock was and what he did. And so I'm operating solo today. None of my other partners are here. So just bear with me from time to time until I get this thing right. We have some stuff that I want to speak about before we did get on the air here. And that is the, which we're going to be covering tomorrow, this moronic shooting at University of Cincinnati. Well, it wasn't at the University of Cincinnati. It was off campus. An off campus wannabe cop shot and killed 43-year-old black man. What's new? It's happening every day. But you know what? We got cameras now. Now we have cameras. But this guy tried to say he was pulling me down the street. Well, you know, it's just like I always said. I always said, and I said this when I was teaching class at school. They asked me, I was teaching, doing the media literacy at the Northwest School of the Arts here in Charlotte. And the teacher said, you know, look, we were talking, you know, what can we do? And there's two kids in the class, they keep talking. I call the parents up, and the parents say, no, my kid wouldn't do that. So I said, hey, put cameras in the classroom. I'll put them in. I had them in the studio. I put the cameras in the classroom. The kids said, Mr. Lawson, what are you doing? I said, we're going to be filming you guys because you act up too much. Oh, no, Mr. Lawson, we don't do that. Hey, no problemo. Week went by, no problem. 2 weeks went by, no problem. 3rd week went by, back to the same old nonsense. They forgot the cameras were in the classroom. And when the parents came up to school, They said, you know, we're tired of hearing about white child. I said, no, don't be tired about hearing about your child. Just look at the video here. So these cops are the same way. They're the same way. They forget there's cameras everywhere. You don't see this stuff going on in England. You don't see this stuff. But here, hey, these people are whack. And I have never seen a DA, the DA of Cincinnati. He went off on this guy yesterday. I mean, if he had his way, he would execute him. He said, but we don't have execution in Cincinnati. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow and a couple of other cases. We're going to talk about the wing that washed up on the shore from the 777 MH370. We're going to be talking about that. It only took about a year, but see, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with that. The wind currents out there, the ripple currents in the ocean were up to shore, but they don't know if that's been on the shore for 3 months, 5 months, 2 days, or 10 minutes. And that will determine, could help them more likely determine where the crash site, is, because in the oceans, out in any oceans, the currents are about a knot an hour. So it would take it, if they figured out in one particular spot, it could have taken almost 9 to 10 months for it to reach Madagascar, where they're looking for it in the ocean where it crashed off the coast of Australia. So they're going to look at that also. And, of course, we're going to be talking about today. And right now, let me see. We got some callers on the line here. Let me see who's here. Miss Janet Barnes, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. And let's just introduce yourself for the listening audience.
I'm Janet Barnes from Wake County, and I'm the second vice president of the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party.
Very good. I'm glad to hear. Let's see who else we have on here. Hello, who's this? Hello?
That must be McArn. Can you hear me?
Who is this?
This is Zett McArn.
Oh, Zett, how are you?
I didn't
recognize your number. I don't know why I didn't. And tell the audience who you are.
I am the president of the African American Caucus of the Wilson County Democratic Party.
Very good. And so you have someone else on the line here, gentlemen. And what is your name? Sign in, mystery guest.
My name's Norman Smith. I'm a Democrat from this great city of Washington, D.C. And we are looking forward to becoming a state soon with the help
absolutely.
Of the 50 states.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's something we need to talk about. Because the person that you want to be the senator down there is who? Donna? Don't you? You're supposed to have a senator down there. Who's the one that you guys are rooting for to become the senator or going to be voting for?
Well, there is not one, but there's currently a representative.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But when you become a state, you'll be able to have a senator or two senators, as a matter of fact.
Right, but they've not been selected yet. You have a right to vote for those individuals. But there's nobody in line yet, and that's a little way down the road.
Well, what about Donna? I like Donna.
Donna is from the state of Maryland. She's already a congresswoman.
That's right. See, Hey, Maryland is only a suburb of Washington anyway, so. Or is it the other way around?
No, you got it right. It's a suburb of Washington, so is Virginia.
That's right. Okay. So I'm going to let Janet start off this discussion. Janet, can you please, in a short, brief nutshell, tell us why are we, when I say we, I'm talking about the African-American community, in an uproar about what the president or the chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party is doing? What got us to this point?
The uproar is not properly recognizing the legitimate African American caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party, and so that's why we're in an uproar. But you have to understand this is a repeat of history, because when the Black Caucus was started back in 1868, we had freed African Americans from Harnett County, from Berkeley County and Caswell County, and they are in Rowan County, and they all formed a caucus back during that time, as well as Edgecombe County. And strangely enough, they started out as part of the Republican Party, and they became disenfranchised, so they ended up with the Democratic Party. Now here we are here in 2015, and it appears that they are trying to disenfranchise us. So this is a repeat of history. And what we've got to do is we've got to let the people in North Carolina, African-American in North Carolina, and all this, they are trying to take us back 50 years. Selma is now, North Carolina is now our Selma. We can't sit by idly by and think that everyone that's at the table represent us. And people got to understand, they only want us to know what they want us to know about Martin Luther King. And they talk about the I Have a Dream speech. But no one talks about the May 1957 speech when he was begging. He said, give us the ballots. If you give us, at that time he used the word Negro, but if you give us the African-American people the ballot, we have the sense and the intelligence to select our own representatives. And we are the most loyal voters in North Carolina to vote Democrat. But then there's now a movement to disenfranchise us.
Okay, now that's a good point. Now, in best estimates, it's between 25% and 28% of the voting populace in North Carolina are African Americans. Why would this chairman of the party want to disenfranchise a third of the vote?
That is a good question. We can't figure out why, because now this chair is a new chair to politics that I know of. Was not even aware of her until she ran for the vice chair position after another vice chair resigned. So I had no history, no knowledge of her, and I was born and reared here in North Carolina. So, but you got to think about what Franklin Delano Roosevelt said. He said anything that happened in politics is not by accident; it's planned. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the plan, and what are we going to do about the plan?
Tell me from your best estimates, since you've been involved in the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party, which is the only African American caucus which is recognized by the state executive committee and the body itself, why do you think this president, and I'm quoting, said that it's all right to have two African American caucuses?
The lack of knowledge, Michael. The lack of knowledge. If she knew better, she'd do better. That's just my opinion. I'm looking at a meme that's come off of the internet, specifically the Facebook thing. So it says, truth is treason in an empire of lies. When someone refuses logic, facts, the process, you know, what are you looking at? Somebody who's gone amok. And to me, that's what's happening now in regards to our state chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party. She's refusing the facts. She won't sit down with the executive board members so that this all could be ironed out. So what can you do with that? They come up with lies, lie after lie after lie. North Carolinians, especially African-American North Carolinians, are tired. They don't want to hear it, even though it's confusing. They don't want to understand the facts. And to me, that is dividing and disenfranchising African Americans in this state.
Well, the thing that I don't understand, but when did you become part of the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party?
Wilson County, became a part of the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
2000, maybe somewhere between 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. But as far as the caucus itself, getting involved, 2011, when I became the state secretary at that particular time.
Okay. And what changes have you seen? As far as the party to the African American Caucus,
a blatant disrespect for what's in place. That's what I've seen, especially now. When we get to talking about the ex president of this particular caucus, then I can share more details. But I see a blatant disrespect for what's properly already in place.
Okay.
We are a chartered African American caucus. We have been since 2003. There's not been a break in there. It has not been shut down. It has not been closed. None of that. And so to say that there are two fractions out there battling for a position is simply not true. It's inaccurate information.
Okay, we have two more guests joining us. Let me see who this is. Hello, guest, who's this?
Hi, this is Valerie Conyers, Secretary
how are you,
of
Valerie?
The American Caucus. Wayne County, I'm doing great. Michael, how are you?
Very good. And hold on just a minute to see who the other. Well, Valerie, can you tell us, you're from Wayne County?
Correct.
And where is Wayne County at in North Carolina?
We're a little dot east of North Carolina. Biggest city would be Fayetteville. And also an hour away from Raleigh. So we're considered the east part of the AAC.
Okay.
And lonely at the top. I've enjoyed the show thus far, though.
Okay, hold on just a minute. We got somebody else join us. Let's link them in. Hello, who's this? Hello? 4788, who's this?
Hey, Michael, this is Perry Graves, Rockingham County.
Rockingham County, and that's the Rockingham County African American Caucus of Rockingham County Democratic Party?
That's correct, and also in the parliamentarian for the
state party. Okay, and when did you become the parliamentarian for the state party?
I was elected November 2011, and took office January the 1st, 2012.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us, while I have you here, what problems have you seen from the county chair since you become the parliamentarian?
Basically, other than the eastern part of the state of North Carolina, most of the caucus pretty much adhere to the bylaws, policy plans, of procedure, and also the Robert Rules of Order. I find that the eastern part, they tend not to follow any procedures or rules, and they just kind of run amok. And that was one of the main things I see, and things I also note that under this leadership of the chair for the North Carolina Democratic Party, I consider it abuse of power, because she makes decisions that she doesn't have authority to make. And, you know, the one of them is trying to have two caucuses in, telling the other group what we can do and telling us we can't do. You know, it's just not fair I look at it, she took an oath of office to obey the Constitution and all the laws of the land, and so far I have found her to be abusive of that by allowing Willie Fleming, who has never been an African-American caucus member, period, to continue to parade around and support him as if he is the president. And, you know, even after informing her, she thinks that she wasn't informed, because I personally gave her the information myself in her hands in Greensboro at McDonald's on Highway 68. So she can't say she didn't get the information. I gave it to her again in Charlotte 2 months later. And I know other individuals gave her information. So she can't be running around saying she didn't get the information. If she does, that's just another lie she's telling. So that's what I can see. And, you know, for his support, I see they sent a lot of emails and things out from the Democratic Party and from other individuals, but they don't send information to myself. For some unknown reason, it's like they see me as an invisible man, you know, even though they know I'm here. But they don't send me information to keep me abreast of what's going on in the Democratic Party, nor all this abuse that's going on in the caucus. And you just, we have a rogue of about 25, I call them rogue individuals with a rogue leader, Willie Fleming, and a few of his others that are not even caucus members, never been caucus members parading around. And when he called his meetings, he got all the folks from everywhere come in, never been a caucus member. They get in and they take over and they vote. And nothing they do is according to the bylaws. And that's some of the things I note to change. However, it's a group of us that got together, and we want to see the right thing. And, of course, we ask for help, and, you know, people criticize us for that. However, we even have elected officials that don't seem to understand. We are on the federal and state. The reason I'm saying that laws, we have a federal account, and we have a state account. So that makes us under. And when they ask us to sit down and talk to a group of people that never filed proper reports, et cetera, they're asking us to violate the Constitution. I've been appalled at some of the individuals that asked me to violate state and federal laws. And I'm going to stop right here in case you had another question.
No, that's because I want to go to Norman Smith, the advisor. Norman, can you tell us what is the role of the Democratic Party of North Carolina to the African-American caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party?
Primarily, according to their plan of organization, they are the organizer of the auxiliary, and every year they have a number of auxiliaries that go out and help to galvanize the Democratic Party within North Carolina. The African-American caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party is now in such fractured position, and has been since 2003 in its inception. And this fraction has been paraded around like it was the individual African-American community, when in fact, all of the evidence shows that it was not. It was primarily the Democratic Party and all of its leaders. So it's not what's happening now. It's nothing different. It hasn't been happening almost since the inception. They have not been giving a time and attention to the African-American caucus as they do other auxiliaries. Mm-hmm. They have not been cooperating, or, in fact, their candidates that are major candidates like the senators and congressmen, they have a tendency to shun the African-American community. All in all, to make a long story short, and they have not been doing anything to assist, educate, or help the African-American community. But they've been reaching out to the young Democrats, the LGBT, and now it's the LGBTQ organizations. And to add a little bit more, they do not give any credit to the other minority organizations, such as the Asian Auxiliary, the Hispanic Auxiliary, and the Native American Auxiliary. But each one of those auxiliaries are a small percentage of the votes in North Carolina. The African-American, as you mentioned, is anywhere from 28 to 35% of the vote in North Carolina. As we all know, in 2008 and 2012, the African-American vote was only 20% behind the white vote. That means that they came out, and they do. They are concerned about what's happening in their state. But as usual, we've been struggling for a long time. Now, of course, I don't live in North Carolina now, but I was born in North Carolina. I was one of the first individuals to integrate Durham High School in Durham, North Carolina. My family still lives there, approximately 2,000 members of the family or more, and lives in about 15 different counties. And the reason I'm here and came to North Carolina is because I was asked to come down. And when I was asked to go and take a look at what's going on in the African-American caucus, now, since I've been there and looked at it, I made some preliminary findings, and I've tried my best to assist the African-American caucus and its former president, Mr. Willie Fleming.
I called him several times.
And in doing so, he is not a cooperative individual. I have tried my best to give advice to the caucus in a manner whereby they can take their administration and clean up the caucus and place it in a respectable manner. As I said, they have been interfered with since 2003 or more. There's been many administrations, and every time, there is always the NCDP that comes in and split them up and give the appearance that the African-American can't get along together. And everybody knows, as history repeats itself, it disenfranchises, causes the crab barrel syndrome, and it's not really the African-American that's fighting among itself. It's individuals and agitators that are causing us to be the big fight, and it's not a big fight. All the new organization, and I call the proper organization of AAC-NCDP, trying to do is to be in compliance with the bylaws. That is, properly registered, properly certified, qualified, character, and integrity individuals to go out into the community and help all of the African Americans in that community become aware of the political process, become aware that they need to vote, and to help educate and train them. Unfortunately, there's been some faction that see sights on trying to go out here and elect people by using the organization to fill their pockets, the whole event. But if they only took the time to look at the bylaws of the organization, you cannot, under the bylaws, go out and raise funds for a candidate. You cannot be a campaign organization for candidates seeking office. Now, while the same bylaws are trying to encourage the African Americans to go out and become members of the organization and in the political process through their elections or running for office, it does not allow anyone to be any organization within the AAC to go out and raise funds for a candidate. Now, what I say about that is you can still aid and assist individuals in seeking political office. That is, each county caucus gather their individuals together in a meeting place and make them available to the candidates. That's all the African-American state should be doing, and educating the counties of how to do it and assist them in doing it to make all of the candidates available to that. But let's go back to Kay Hagan. Mm-hmm. Kay Hagan had her campaign, and in her campaign, the African-American community wasn't even looked at. They didn't even go into it. And that was the reason why she lost. She did not use the African-American voters. She did not go to them. She did not look for them to help her. And that's how she lost. Anybody who looks at statistics and the voter data, you will find that she won in 2008. She won in 2012 because of the African-American vote. She lost in 2014 because the African-American vote stayed home.
Well, let me explain now. Since I was the chair of the African-American Caucus at one time, right after Stella Adams, and it seemed to me then that things were starting to change a little. But I then became the eighth district chair. And as soon as I became the eighth district chair and started organizing additional black communities besides the 100 in the AAC, NCDP, there seemed to be a major change in thinking at the Democratic Party. It's like, wait a minute, we can't have all these black people get organized. And they put in what was called at that time the Lawson Amendment, which is now 4.08, which says you cannot be a chair or a president of more than two organizations in the Democratic Party. Now, I just happen to be the only one that this affected. You think by chance? I think not. They know that if the African-American community gets together as one force, they will control who is elected in this state party. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the bottom line on it. They do not want the African-American community to control who gets elected.
Yes, go do that.
Let's see. Janet, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Do you have anything to say about that?
It was interesting that you brought about the change and the change in the attitude and behavior, because I was at the executive board meeting as an observer. When they said, no, there's not a caucus and you need to have an election. I was at the election in Burlington when they, at the meeting in Burlington when they was going to hold the election. So I challenged them. I said, first of all, you don't know how many certified caucuses you have here. You don't know who are members of the caucus, and you don't know who are not members of the caucus. And
yeah,
so
go ahead and order that.
Hold on, I have two people talking in the background here. Hold on. Go ahead, Janet.
And I did that for a reason, because the executive director at that time, when they went out and called David Young, David Young was the chair of the Democratic Party then, and he said, go ahead on and hold the election. I'm like, okay, you know, that's outside of his purview, but they went ahead and held the election, and Harold Harrison was elected as president at that time. But at the beginning of that, after that decision, which is the same type of decision now, because the plan of organization has not changed, and the party cannot get involved in auxiliary business, but they did at that time. So this is a repeat of history. And strangely enough, after David Young was David Parker. And at the meeting in Pittsburgh, in which Pastor Kiva Acott was elected, David asked me, well, how do you think it's going to go? I said, well, the SEC members are here, and they're going to vote, and we'll see. And then he said, how do you think the African Americans are going to vote? I said, why don't you ask them? And then he said, let me ask you a question. Do we need an African American caucus? I said, do we always need a Caucasian as the president of the North Carolina Democratic Party? And he walked away.
Yeah, well, the problem knowing it, the problem is that we have a major problem with the changing of the gods, so to speak, that they can see coming down the line. It's just like the Progressive Party and Romney and all them, they can see the changing of the guard coming down the line. Now, there's a there's something I want to ask. I thought we would have Brandon on here, but he's not here, so I'm going to ask Janet. Tell us, what is this letter that Patsy Kiva sent out to the African-American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party to Brandon? What can you tell us a little bit about that letter?
The letter was actually sent out to the SEC members saying that there was going to be an election on August the 1st, which is there is going to be an election of the African-American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party. But that election is not sanctified because that meeting is not a meeting because Willie Fleming did not call that meeting. And that any officers that are elected at that meeting will not be recognized by the North Carolina Democratic Party. That's in essence what the letter said. And supposedly
okay.
It was sent out to all of the SEC meetings. But then Perry Graves is a SEC member, and he didn't get it.
I didn't get one either.
So,
I'm an SEC
right,
member.
Right. And so it's supposedly sent out to all of the SEC members.
Perry, since we spoke up your name, can you tell us what took place in January 31st of this year at the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party meeting?
Yes, I can. And if I may, what actually happened just before, I sent registered and certified mail to Willie Fleming and Sandra and the others who we had, we were trying to remove for cause. And so I sent them that. And on the first
Perry, before you go on tell us the reason why they were going to be removed for cause.
The reason they were going to be removed for cause of dereliction of duty and failing to file the proper reports, quarterly reports with the State Board of Elections that is required.
Okay, and failing to file those reports resulted in what action by the State Board of Election?
Oh, well, I'll let one of the other people explain that more because they know more about it, okay? But what happened, as you asked me, on January 31st, we had sent them the information and requiring them to come to a meeting on January 31st in Charlotte. That was our general body meeting. And prior to that, we had an executive meeting. And during the executive meeting, we had scheduled a hearing for Willie Fleming to come. And what we did, he failed to show. However, we continued on with the process. And we recommended that he be removed from office to the general body. About an hour or two later, he shows up at the meeting. And I personally put the information in his hand and reminded him that he had been removed. He told me that didn't pertain to him, and he was going to do what he wanted. However, I informed him he had been properly removed, and he had it was his right to file an appeal, and it must be in writing. And he looked me right in my eyes with Brandon Johnson standing there saying, "None of this pertains to me." And he said, "You all are wasting your time. It's nothing you can do to me." And he went on to he got pretty irate. Told me what he could do to me or would do to me. It didn't faze me. I just told him he couldn't intimidate me. However, if you look at what happened, he refused to accept it. However, when I put it in his hand and said, you need to take this so you can have your right to appeal. And he had his chances. Actually, he had more than his chances.
Before I get to Norman, I'd like to ask Valerie, were you there at that meeting on the 31st, Valerie?
No, I wasn't. No, I was not at that meeting, no.
Okay.
But we heard about the meeting when we went to the SEC meeting and the months prior to that. And we all, and I'm talking about anybody that was from the East or anywhere, had this big question, who is the president of the AAC? Once we received the paperwork and was told that he was removed, this had been going on for over a year.
Okay, but it's not the AAC, Valerie. You mean the AAC-NCDP?
Correct.
Okay.
Who was, it was like, who is Waldo? So once everything was, it was ridiculous. Who's Waldo? Who's the president? We tried to talk.
Waldo was the president. That's the problem.
Right. We tried to talk. We gathered an unprompt meeting prior to Ms. Kiva Acock taking over her office, just to get the background for what happened in that January meeting, to find out, okay, what was said, who's the president, why is this going on back and forth. Mr. Fleming came into the area that we were sitting and discussing, and with Rodney Moore, Jay Powell's, and a couple other people, and they busted in there. You can't meet. This is not sex. I'm like, wait, hold on. You know, and everybody at the table, I guess we had about 15 AAC members, NC members gathered. We all refused to talk to them because we were like, you know, just by your behavior right now, we do not recognize you as the president.
Okay.
So, we just didn't, because we knew about it. It was a year of this. We all were extremely disappointed and tired of the whole process. We were delighted to hear that he was served, and we were ready to move on. And the prior chair, Randy Roller, has sent out a blast email to all of the presidents and a few other people saying, oh, we already know that he's no longer the president. We're just going to get along, and you know, today, and the new chair knows, but he's still around. It's like a bad penny. It's like, okay, when is this nightmare going to stop? My concern is, while we are all talking, I wanted to go even further back. Governor Easley, who sanctioned the African-American Caucus in North Carolina Democratic Party, this whole auxiliary was set up, in a sense, to split the vote. And as you were saying, Michael, once they realized, oh, wow, they're going to get along and they're going to actually get their caucuses together, and these votes are coming in, that's when up above in the Democratic Party of North Carolina, they decided to throw these ringers in. I do not think they want this to work. And I'm committed to the very end to make sure that we are recognized, that we are going to move forward, that we are going to have people with high integrity and with the frame of mind that this is not about us, this is bigger than us. This is about all the African Americans in North Carolina who already are disenfranchised, and we as Democrats will refuse to cause any more harm. We're not ACOC, you know. We're not one of those groups that, you know, we're not rogue. And we refuse to even have our name associated with people with such low moral standards. So I'm confident that we are going to continue on as the auxiliary that we're supposed to be. We're not campaign managers. We're not, we don't pay to play. We don't sell our endorsements. We are here basically to educate all of the African Americans in our community for the local politics, state politics, and as well as the national politics. Because
very good.
Our people need to know. And it's sad when you're walking down the street and you're talking about voting, and your local brothers and sisters, they don't even know when the local elections are. They have no
idea.
That's
true.
They don't
Absolutely correct.
They don't know how to get out there and say, you know what, my vote counts. I go everywhere. I go to every housing community, housing area, the good neighborhoods, the bad neighborhoods. It doesn't matter to me because it's that important. Because when I'm not even from North Carolina, but I feel like I'm a North Carolinian now because they're going to have to carry me out of here feet first. Because it's a cause down here. It's absolutely ridiculous that you have this amount of African Americans that do not know. And it's only by the fault of us that know. If you know better, you do better. Like the young lady said earlier, we can't say, well, they didn't. Well, our folks didn't come out for the vote when they don't even know when the vote is. When you can, I go to my different voting precincts, and you have police officers standing in the voting facility when they know they are not allowed to do that. I stood there and was one of the observers. As I see them turn 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of my people away and let everybody else that doesn't look like us pull out a CAT birth certificate and say, oh, well, you're not registered here, but we will allow you to vote. And not a provisional ballot either. So these are the things in your local community that should just squash any personal, anything that you could ever think about to let our people know that their rights to vote are being taken away bit by bit by bit by bit. Telling them, it's a small, close with this, but without me, I think I talk more than you do, Michael, but I'm going to close with this.
Oh, man.
What got me when I came down here the first year, there was a truck that someone had made and was doing the second election for the president, second national election. He had a truck that he had these, I guess he got mannequins or wherever, and he had them hung by nooses on his truck. You had one that was Thurgood Marshall. You had one that was President Obama. You had one that was someone else. You had one riding around town with his bullhorn, talking smack slowly. Now, this is somebody that's with a truck emulating lynching.
Yeah.
Lynching folks. So my thought was, let me follow this truck. I must have lost my mind. But I did. I took a picture of it. I sent it to everybody I knew to tell them that this is no joke down here. He's hanging dummies now, but they hang real folk as well. If we don't get this legislation under control and let them know either we're voting for you to not only protect our rights but not allow the Republicans in the legislation to just go roughshod. We're going to do what we want to do. But it's going to take all of us together to say this is how you take your state back. You take it back one block at a time, one community at a time, one city at a time, and before you know it, we will have a fair voting arena. Don't give us something. We just want to have fair shaking. And I'm going to shut up shutting up. But I appreciate you.
Well,
and Michael,
Well, we were just listening to the last word with Valerie Connors and Conyers, and so now we're going to. But before Janet, hold on to that one minute because I want to get Norman here. A question I want to ask Norm. I asked Perry a question before about the problem that resulted why they removed him. And some of the things that he was doing with the SBOE. Is there anything that you can shed some light on that?
Yes, as I said earlier, I had asked to come down to North Carolina to take a look at it. In doing so, I contacted members of the African Caucus that was elected officers. That was Perry, Shanita, Brandon, Donna Johnson, and Willie Fleming, and Ms. Daniels, who would not talk to me. And in getting an understanding of what's going on, it was clear that Mr. Willie Fleming did not and was not a member of the African Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party. He did not qualify for the membership requirements in Article 7 to run for presidency. One is He was not a member of a county caucus. The reason he wasn't a member, because the one in Mecklenburg County had been closed in 2009. The election took place in 2011, and it was never reopened. Further, I found, this is facts. Further, I found that during that time that Mr. Fleming claiming to have been a county caucus, he was raising funds. He wasn't doing anything in accordance with the law. He did not have a committee that was on file with the State Board of Election. Moving forward, that was come up in regards to an inquiry of him not filing, after becoming president, the accurate name of the organization of African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party, which has to be filed with the State Board of Election as a committee. Mr. Fleming, 10 days after the election, he files a committee in the name of the African American Caucus, North Carolina. Now, he went on to argue when he wanted a different number than the number was already for the organization. He argued that with the State Board of Election that we don't know the other organization who has the documents, so therefore we want our own number. And the reason being, their number is similar to our number, their name is similar to our name, their facts are different than ours, and we are reorganizing the African Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party, which happened to be false. Mr. Fleming went out and used that organization to raise funds, all kinds of funds. There were never any reporting of those funds. One particular one was a so-called convention whereby there was a dinner, people bought paid for advertisement. None of that was reported. There was a reporting during that year of the event expenses, hotel expenses. But evidence also showed forth that there was a sponsor for that event as well, a heavy sponsor. But the records reflect in the State Board of Election that was filed under the African Caucus of North Carolina that there were no sponsors, that they used the money and they were deficit. Moving forward, that was just information that was gathered and was put into what they call a notice to remove for cause. There are five reasons that you remove a person for cause. Most importantly, failure to do your duty, failure to file reports, make reports, or failure to make meetings. And most importantly, if you come and you deliberately shame the organization, you do not make the necessary filings that you're supposed to make of all the income and all of the expenses to the State Board of Election. Having looked at all that, a notice was prepared for Mr. Fleming. He had reasonable time in front to know about the meeting that he was supposed to attend for his hearing. Mr. Fleming neither responded by 9 o'clock the morning of January 31st. He never attended, and they went ahead and had a hearing. They looked at the evidence, and they made a ruling and a decision to remove Mr. Fleming. Now, when they made that decision gave him the right to appeal if he didn't agree. Written appeal, of course. Mr. Fleming, as Mr. Graves said, it was history. It is put in the minutes of the meeting, whether the decision was made, how it was made, the decision for the general body meeting, how it occurred and what happened. And the general body meeting was determined was no more than a business meeting because they could not determine a quorum. So, moving forward, that evidence was put together. It was relayed to the State Board of Election, and Mr. Fleming did not correct anything. I myself contacted him and asked him, would he straighten this out? Not to break up the organization, but I understand where things can get off kilter. I pleaded with Mr. Fleming three times. I said, there is no need to get rid of the secretary. If you say she did the misfilings, there's no need to get rid of the treasurer if she did it. Evidence shows that the treasurer had no knowledge of what she was doing, didn't know anything about the money. Mr. Flemings was the one who was putting the money in the bank and in control of the banking account. Evidence also showed that Mr. Flemings was signing the checks that was being paid and distributed. None of those checks showed up in any reporting of him having dispensed any money or any money coming into the banking account. And that was the Fifth Third Bank. Subsequent to that, Mr. Flemings was removed. Since then, there was notification sent out to the North Carolina Democratic Party. Evidence shows that Ms. Kieber was aware when she took office that the African Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party had got their certification February the 7th. Mr. Flemings had been removed January 31st. Mr. Flemings attended this SEC meeting and paraded around. He could not sit with the other SEC members because Mr. Vala knew he had been removed. However, he manipulated, got up to the stage, and when it comes time for all the auxiliaries, not one, all of them was certified together. Mr. Flemings went up, received it, and he had no right to receive it, and because he had been removed as president. So that was the end of that, we thought. Subsequent to that, Ms. Patsy Kieber had a meeting with me. She had a meeting with Mr. Graves and Ms. Shanita Johnson, and under the auspices that she would look into the matter and therefore try to bring about a resolution. Subsequent to that, Mr. Fleming said that he had a right. Now, let's examine that. He's right. He does have a right. He has a right to appeal if anything that the caucus executive, elected executive officer, did wrong. And that would have been heard by the general body. Mr. Fleming never anything in writing, like he didn't put anything in writing to answer. He never denied the charges. And there has been no appeal. The next general body meeting was June. Mr. Fleming, even up to that meeting, and he had proper notice, he did not file an appeal. So therefore, the caucus members all bent over backwards to give him an opportunity to come forth and have a full-blown hearing of what he thought he could bring forth evidence to say he was not at fault, guilty of any of the charges. Mr. Fleming failed to do so. Subsequent to But subsequent to that, he tried to communicate, pull a band of people together, and call himself having a meeting. Now, when he called this meeting together, he did not call any of the elected officials. Mr. Brandon Johnson did not get notice of the so-called May 2nd meeting. Perry Graves did not get notice of this meeting. Donald Johnson did not get notice of this meeting. There were only three officers left because three of them, Mr. Flemings, had been removed. Mrs. Shante, who was the secretary, she quit. Sandra Smith Meredith was sent message that she, was resigning. Mm-hmm. Makes no difference. All of them, evidence was heard at the same meeting, and all of them was removed, which left only three officers left. I'm sorry, four officers. Ms. Diane Little, Mrs. Linda Daniels was moved into position by succession as president. Mr. Brandon Johnson, first vice president, and Ms. Donna was the third, and Mr. Graves, the parliamentarian. We was without a treasurer at And that was on February the 7th when it was confirmed as being African-American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party. Mr. Flemings was not on February 7th an officer to receive any certification. He had been removed, and he knew he had been removed. Subsequent to all of this is now Mrs. Patsy Kiefer has sided with Mr. Flemings. Why, we don't know. And she does not have the authority to even get involved. But she issued a letter, and that's the letter this program is talking about.
Well, can you go into that letter? As a matter of fact, hold on, let me get back to you because I wanted to get Janet. Janet, you had something to say that you wanted to say about that before we forget.
I think the entire problem that they are having with the African American Caucus is one. Our focus is to educate and empower. When we sit down and show the people the stats of the cause and effect of not turning out to vote, they're losing their vote. I think because this group has a separate focus, we're not about the money, raising money, and things of that nature. We're about education and empowerment, and I think that's why the big fight is on to say that this group is not legitimate. But the most disappointing thing about it is that you have African-American elected officials that's buying into this whole chaotic thing and supporting someone that, first of all, that should not have been the president, and secondly, has knowingly violated the bylaws of the organization and have participated in criminal acts. And some of these people are actually attorneys. And that's what really, really gets me is that they want to err on the side of wrong and not see the right in these, but then they want someone to pay them to protect their rights, and they're trying to destroy the rights of the African-American community here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Zett, when you came on the African American Caucus, North Carolina Democratic Party, what is the first thing that you saw that you had a problem with Willie Fleming?
Serving as the state secretary at that time, I came on the same time that Perry Graves came on, and we both came on in November of 2011. Mm-hmm. Serving as the state secretary, when we got to the process of organizing county caucuses, for the purpose of documentation, Willie would not send in. He was organizing in the western part of the state, so we're talking Iredell, Rowan, up around your way, Michael,
mm-hmm.
those county caucuses. So he would call me and say, listen, Zett, I've organized whatever county he was in, go ahead and write this down and write that down. They're good. I said, well, I appreciate that, Willie. However, I need, for the sake of maintaining an accurate account of what's happened, I need receipts of who gave you money and who it came from so we can duly note it. That never happened. That's when I started noticing a steady, you know, he would increasingly do that time and time again without sending me, the state secretary at that time, that information that was needed. And so I alerted some of my fellow members, executive members at the time, what was going on. And so to me, that's when I started noticing how he would go into the county, he would get the money, but he would not send forth the information so that it could be duly noted.
Well, now, the thing that I don't understand is what, and I'm sending this to you, Norm, why hasn't the State Board of Election done anything about this?
Well, that's a big question. I can't answer that because I really don't know, but I have suspicion and I have a belief.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is that Mrs. Kiefer Acock has a disrespect for the rule of law. She also has the inability to understand the rule of law. She did at one time have me to speak with their treasurer, the NCDP's treasurer, who is Mr. Charlie Reese, who happens to be an attorney, and I discussed it with him. And Mr. Reese came up with an excuse to ignore and to provide that to Mrs. Kiever, a way of getting around the bona fide organization and to support Mr. Willie Fleming's, because she needed numbers in votes. And Mr. Fleming's promised her that he could do that, raise those votes, and have the Democratic Party possibly whole by his having so many alleged county caucuses, and which happened to be false. He did not have. So that was one thing on the side. But the reason that was given to Mr. Willie Fleming was by Charlie Reese, and he did that in the SEC meeting, and I have the tape of it, where he was called upon by Ms. Kiever to espouse that belief as if it was the gospel, and it was not the gospel. That belief was, I'm a lawyer, and I've had a chance to look at this, and I've looked at the bylaws, and they didn't follow the bylaws for removing Mr. Fleming. Now, anybody that's in law will know, you got an opinion, I got an opinion, you bring forth that opinion, and then we litigate it. You just don't go and just take his opinion and heck with the rules of law or the bylaws. The plan of organization says, and it clearly says 9.01, all auxiliary have to take care of their own disputes. And
yes,
the council of review within the body of the SEC cannot and should not get involved. Now, the council of review is the only judicial body of the North Carolina Democratic Party. So anyone else, elected or otherwise, could not make any decisions about an auxiliary matters or disputes or try to resolve anything because they have no authority to do so. So by Mr. Reese giving that was wrong of him to do that, especially in an SEC meeting.
Okay. Hold on. We got two more guests joining us right here. Hello, guests. Who's this? Hello, guest. Hello.
What's up, Brandon Johnson? How's everybody doing?
Brandon Johnson, Bill. I was just about to send the CIA out after you. let's see, Brandon Johnson. Okay, Brandon, let me just tag you in here, and I see we also have Miss Diane Little joining us. How are you, Diane? Diane. Diane. Oh, I don't have her called up. I'm sorry, Diane. I'm sorry I didn't have you called up. All right, now you hear me, right? Diane.
Yes, I can hear you,
oh.
Michael.
Okay, this is Lee Little. Okay. What I want, and this is, since we have the state chair, Brandon Johnson, is the state chair for the African American Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party on right now. Brandon, I want to pose the question to you. Did you ever contact the State Board of Elections about the misgivings you had about Willie Fleming doing what he was doing or doing what he shouldn't have been doing?
We sent several notices after I had taken office, but mm-hmm. I think that during the while he was illegally in office, there was such a vacuum of information. I think Zett spoke to this of how he was trying to circumvent the system with not notifying her properly of caucuses that he was trying to register, and that's just really indicative of the behavior and style of or lack of leadership that was really going on. So there was nothing that we were even aware of concerning that we, the rest of the officers knew about the name changes or the fundraising and the funds, things of that nature. I mean, he kept it in a very, very tight bubble to the extent where I, as an officer, would not receive meeting notifications. So I didn't even know half of the meetings were going on. I'd have to find out tangentially through either other county caucus presidents or just friends who would say, hey, Brandon, by any chance, did you know there was a meeting tomorrow? Of course I didn't know. So yeah, if I was getting meeting notifications, then you know, the rest of this stuff was kept very much so behind closed doors.
Well, as the great coach Dennis Green once said, he said, but they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. That's what, well, you see, nobody asked me because I could have told you about Willie Fleming, because I know him longer than anybody here on the phone. So the thing is that when you took over, Brandon, as the state chair, finally, and you started getting information in or coming across information that the State Board of Election, as I understand, was owed money?
Yes,
is this true?
I understand. And Norm can confirm this, that there's just there were, I guess, funds unaccounted for, to my knowledge, which, of course, is a surprise to me, has taken over. Our main complaint with the State Board of Elections is our proper name and elected officers being listed correctly, which they still haven't rectified up to this date. But
well, and that's true, because I spoke to the treasurer in Mecklenburg County, where I'm at, and they're completely unaware of anything that's going on until I spoke to them about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and we've sent multiple documents, one requesting an investigation, the other, it was 30 pages worth of content justifying the removal of Mr. Fleming, and the rest of the notices for cause listed out very detailed explanations, plainly written, clear as day, what happened. And it baffles my mind why nothing, even in the face of evidence, things haven't changed. And I just equate this entire situation just to a lack of disrespect, not only for the caucus, but we're the representatives for the African-American community in this state. So if you're disrespectful to us, then in turn you're disrespecting all the African-American voters. And then you actually want us to vote for these officers who are running for election after there's a blatant disgrace going on right now. So it just blows my mind to the nth degree.
Well, speaking about people we need to vote for, what's the deal with Floyd McKissick? Anybody want to chime in on that?
Well,
Janet,
I've been involved with the caucus a lot longer than Brandon. Well, Brandon was there because Brandon's been the third vice for a minute than the rest of them. And in all of the years that I've been involved in the caucus, like I said, I was there when they at the Goodwin House, and even with the election of Harold Harrison, I never saw Floyd McKissick at a single meeting getting involved with the African American Caucus. Now all of a sudden he wants to be the one that bridge what he says the African American community. But his thing is he wants two caucuses. it's just like a household. Two women don't work well in a household.
Heck no.
And so this thing of having two caucuses, and now he's supposedly sent out this letter saying, you know, he tried to do this and reaching out to so many people and sending it out to, because I don't have full vision of the people that he's sending it out to, but he supposedly have, I know that he has partnered with Representative Rodney Moore. And they're sending all this information out. Because the thing about it is, they are not sending out all of the information.
Of course not. Rodney Moore don't even know coming out of the rain. Listen, let me tell you something. Everybody remembers The Godfather 1. Well, what did Vito tell Michael? He said, the one that comes to you for the meat, he's the one who's the snitch. Right? And who, lo and behold, who came and offered to have the meat? Floyd McKissick. There's enough said on that because it's self-explanatory. We only have about 7, 8 minutes, and I should have made this longer, but, hey, I know you all could talk as much. So I want to go right to Diane Little for Diane or Lee for about 5 minutes. Lee, can you tell us something about what's going on in with the caucus and the relationship with Patsy Kiever in Union County?
Well, you know, in Union County, we have a viable African American caucus, and we are doing what we're supposed to do. We're educating our voters, and we're getting them out to vote to the extent that we can. We have 17,000 African Americans, registered African Americans in Union County, and that can change an election. And so, to the extent that we can, that's what we're trying to do. Doing everything that I can to really stay out of the fray. And the reason for that is, Michael, I've been in the African American caucus since its inception. I remember I was at the meeting when Hal Hastin and Shanita Johnson and all of those people did those things to you and took over the caucus without a vote. I remember when Willie Fleming walked into the meeting and said that the state chair, which at that time was Harold Hairston, said that Willie Fleming was the chair and that you were no longer the chair. So I don't have any faith in that other group because they did the very thing that they're saying that Willie Fleming did. My goal is to get African Americans out in my county, and that's what I'm doing. What's going on now, I would say that what we need to do is just come together and elect a responsible person as the chair. I'm not saying that Brandon isn't a responsible person, so that we can help our community. That's what's important to me. I mean, I remember what they did to you. You know, we've been down a long time, Michael.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where I am. I'm just trying to do the right thing for my community so that we can effect change and get laws passed and people elected that are about what we're about. This really needs to stop. I mean, we have important work to do. We have an election coming up in 16, and it's going to be an important one for us. It's going to determine where the country is going to be going, so we need to come together. How we do that, I don't know, but on my end, I'm going to do everything I can to get the people that are going to help our community elected.
So okay,
Michael,
I want to get. I'm going to come to everybody. I'm going to give everybody a minute to talk because we only got about another 5 minutes. So I'm going to start with Perry. Perry, you got a minute? Tell us something.
Okay. First of all, Michael, you asked him the question about Patsy Kiever. He never answered your question about Patsy Kiever. He talked about himself for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm confused on why he wouldn't answer your question pertaining to Pat Skeever. Now, what I wanted to say is I haven't seen Mr. Little around other than when Mr. Little grabbed and shoved me in Charlotte on January 31st and accused me of stealing money from him from his caucus, which he proved to himself that he gave the money to Linda Daniels and Willie Fleming. Now, to say this, I've been with the caucus since 2011. And I don't recall seeing him at any meetings other than when it was very controversial. And also when he said the other group, he needs to go and check the bylaws to see which group is really the legitimate group. And making those accusations,
All right.
Yep, making that
decision.
I found
Perry,
him to be.
Perry,
Perry. Yes.
Perry. Okay. That's a minute. That's a minute. I got to get everybody else in. Okay, good. Zach, what do you have?
I yield my time.
You have nothing to say. Janet, what do you got?
My whole premise is if those that are right walk in the right of righteousness and they know all the facts, then I don't understand. We did send out to all of the caucuses the opportunity to join with us on this righteous path, and they refused. Some of them even sent back to us, do not send us any more information. A people perish from lack of knowledge, and the only thing that we were sharing with them is the knowledge and the facts.
Very good. Okay. Valerie, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm going to end by my favorite quote from Harriet Tubman. I would have freed more if they knew they were slaves. And that's
they
what you
slaves.
See the Medal of Honor from President Lincoln. So we can free more if they knew they were slaves. So that's all I know about.
I think
we're going to move forward. Thank
right.
you.
Brandon, what else you got?
Well, I'd like to see everybody at our upcoming convention this Saturday, and we can get some work done and meet the spirit of prosperity and moving forward. We're going to keep working. I mean, that's the plan, and you know, the short and sweet version of it. It's not going to be interfered by any outside rebel rousers who are sending letters talking about unification. We've done our due diligence, and I think one of our members said it best. You know, we're all adults, and adult decisions, lack of decisions, have consequences. And we provided as much information as possible to make people informed. Now, whether they choose to partake and, you know, believe this information, that's on them. But the facts are the facts. So hope
Very
to see
good.
Everybody on Saturday, and we're going to keep moving.
Okay, Norm? What
well,
are you going to end us with? Take
okay,
us out
thank
of here.
You very much. You going to let me say something, Michael?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for giving me the African-American Caucus and North Carolina General Party an opportunity to express to the listeners the true and accurate version as to what has transpired in trying to disenfranchise the African-American vote in North Carolina. Now, to Mr. Lee Little, who I have the opportunity to speak to, Mr. Little and your wife, I spoke with her too. It is my understanding that you two want to join, and I heard you say it here, into the righteous path. And I suggest that maybe you should talk with the African American Caucus and pick up an application and join that righteous path and continue doing the education you're doing in your county caucus and join these people who are working very hard and diligently to make sure that it will not be destroyed again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I enjoyed this. We could have used 3 hours today, but you only got what you got. I could have put down more, but I didn't. Hey, I didn't know you all were going to be so talkative, Valerie.
But Michael, what you have to understand that we have a passion for righteousness for our people. And everyone that's been on this phone with us and part of this organization, we have a passion for our people being treated right.
Amen to that. I want to see tomorrow the show from 3 to 6. We're going to be talking more about this. And if any of you guests want to come back on because you had some more to say, Valerie, you are welcome. And
thank you.
And I'll be back here tomorrow. We're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff, too. And, hey, I was going to invite the Patsy Cuba. Hold my breath. Maybe she'll want to come on. Okay, right now, Judy Walker, the All-Stars are taking us out of here.
Thank you.